My name is Daniel Laogan, and I have been a businessman for the past 16 years. I was born in a traditional Filipino-Chinese business family background. Growing up, due to the fusion of Chinese and Filipino culture, I grew up with a chop suey religious background. I would go to church and attend mass, at the same time go to a temple, because I believed that asking from a lot of gods for blessings would help me in my career. In other words, more gods, more blessings. My parents were very good providers, and they worked very hard to give us the best things in life. Seeing this as my blueprint, I wanted to be independent and succeed at a very young age. And so, at 21 years old, I started my own business with Nu Skin. Because of my drive and desire to be successful, I was able to reap a lot of awards for myself, including Entrepreneur of the Year and being a millionaire at age 23. Money, recognition, and achievement eventually became my gods. I made sure that nothing got in the way of getting what I want. I never needed God because I was the God of my life. I did what I want, bought what I want, and saw people as mere commodities. Pride crept into my life. I basically thought I was a good person because I was successful and I was able to help a lot of people in my business. But the truth behind it was I was mean, full of anger and bitterness. Because of this whirlwind of success, I soon realized that my relationships with my family and friends deteriorated, and I became notorious as a slave driver and a ruthless leader in our business. To make matters worse, I began to persecute Christians in our business because they tried to share the gospel to me. I ridiculed them, made fun of them, and basically made life difficult for them. But a death in the family changed my perspective about life. Death has an amazing way of showing us what is important and not important. I realized that money and success in business cannot do anything in the face of death. During this trying time in my life, God, in His grace and mercy, reached out to me again and used two friends, one from CCF and another one from GCF, to share the gospel to me. I was amazed at how these people were so quick to minister and comfort me during this time. Even though I was the one persecuting them, they did not judge me, and they were there to answer my questions about faith and death. What eventually broke the wall of my heart was when my friend from CCF, Toby, shared about his prayer journal. I was thinking, what kind of person would forget his own prayers and even need to write them down? But out of being courteous, I reluctantly read his journal. I was amazed that he wrote my name and my wife's name as his first prayer point. So I flipped the pages. To my amazement, every day from day one to day 365, our names were there. This warmed my cold heart, and I thought to myself, how can a person still pray for someone who is persecuting them? This attracted me so much to the life of the Christians who surrounded me. I saw joy in the midst of trials. Their life wasn't perfect, but they had peace. I wanted what they had, and it was Jesus. I began to read my Bible, pray, and started attending worship services in CCF. I realized that only Jesus has the power to overcome death and make our life in this world worth living. My outlook in life dramatically improved. I began to spend more time with my family and apologize to people I have hurt in the past. I wish I could tell you that after meeting Jesus, everything would be a walk in the park. But I understood that He needed to discipline me so my faith in Him will be refined. This time of discipline and repentance allowed me to understand that my business is not my own, but His. I understood I am not the God of my life. Jesus is. By God's grace, I'm happy to say that my wife and I started our own D group. We intentionally meet, gather our family to have devotions together. The best part is I have dedicated my business to evangelize and make disciples for Jesus. We have organized a business fellowship in our business to mentor people and give away Bibles for those who are seeking the truth. My wife, who is a fashion designer, uses her fashion brand 37LA for the Lord, organizing fellowship for her employees and being active in the ministry of Uplift. Just this year, we also committed to support more campus missionaries in Elevate so that we can use the blessings given to us for Jesus. Lastly, I work hard to take care of the people entrusted to me and set aside time for my ministry and family. By God's grace, I am now more motivated than ever to work hard so I can be a good steward of what God has entrusted us to reach out to more people for God. In His faithfulness, He allowed me, just last this Thursday, to be awarded as Presidential Director, one of the highest awards given in our company. Praise God. However, my greatest desire is to hear my master telling me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Once you have tasted the goodness of Jesus, not just mere religion, it truly is refreshing. Peace and joy has overcome my life. Continue to pray for me and my family that I may be able to give Jesus the best of my years. I want to give my all because He gave us His all. To God be the glory."
This is the reality of life. What happens to you is outside your control, but what you do with what happens to you is your responsibility. That's within your control. Why am I going to talk about this topic? Because I know today there's a lot of people hurting. People are committing suicides left and right. The reality is, how do you deal with difficult circumstances? How do you deal with disappointments? So today, I'd like you to look at the example of Paul. Let me just share with you a few important principles. If you do not know the big, big why, the why of life, you will not be able to survive the what of life. What do I mean? For example, the Apostle Paul, he was put in prison. He was falsely accused. He was beaten up. How come he kept on doing what he's supposed to do? Because Paul knew the big why. Paul knew why God saved him. Once you know the big why, you don't always need to know the small why. What do I mean? If I know that God has saved me for a purpose, to be His witness, I don't have to always understand the small why. Like, how come? How come years ago, my daughter was raped? How come years ago, my loved ones died? Some of you have your small whys. You don't always know why. But you get to know the big why. The Apostle Paul knew the big why. The why of life is so important to help you understand the what of life that's happening to you today. Let me give an example. In the case of Paul, he may not always understand why he was put in jail, why he had problems, but he knew the big why. Because if you study, which we will discuss today, Acts chapter 24, 25, 26, three chapters, it's about Paul. Paul understood the why of life. Who are you, Lord? It's an important question. Who is your Lord? Paul realized, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Many of you don't even know who you are serving. You are really serving somebody. It can be yourself, your family, your company, nothing wrong. But you got to know who is the ultimate boss. For Paul, the ultimate boss is Jesus. Why? Why do I say that? It is important. Everybody read. "For this purpose," notice, important, "for this reason, for this purpose, I have appeared to you to appoint you." The word "appoint" is a beautiful word. It has to do with you are specially chosen. You are precious. You are special. God tells Paul, "I have chosen you, a minister and a witness." Wow. Minister. Many people don't know the meaning of the word minister. If you are the minister of finance, if you're the prime minister, you may think you are the boss. No, no. The usage of this word minister in the Greek language, this is a special word. It is the lower rank of slaves. It's an under rower. Under rower, you're on a boat, you're on the bottom line, you are doing the rowing. Paul, God tells Paul, you're going to be a servant. Not the boss, servant. However, you will also be a witness. What a privilege. You are going to be a witness. You want to talk about me. So that is the mission of Paul, to be a witness. Not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which will appear to you. A witness is somebody who will testify what has happened. You must have first-hand information. The word witness comes from this word, martyr. Everybody say that with me, martyr. That's the Greek word for witness. A martyr is somebody who tells others, this is what happened to me. I'm a witness. But it's connected today with dying. Because the first martyrs, all the apostles, almost all of them, they all died for confessing what they've seen. Jesus died and rose again. So having said that, you will now understand why Acts 1:8 is so important. What is your purpose in life? May I suggest everybody read this together. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, martyr, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the remotest part of the earth. Notice, God knows to be a witness, you cannot do it on your own power. The Christian life, I always say this again and again, the Christian life is not hard. It is impossible. Let me repeat, it's not hard, it is impossible. The Christian life is not difficult. It is supernatural. If you are not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be enslaved to pornography, addiction, anger, bitterness. And the truth is, some of us are still enslaved. Why? You have not experienced the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. But once you have this power, He gives you the reason. Everybody, what's the reason? You shall be my witnesses. So ladies and gentlemen, you need to know the big picture of why God saved you, of why God touched your life. You got to know what is the purpose of our still being alive on planet Earth. God did not save you, God did not touch your life just to bring you to heaven. If that were the case, we should all be in heaven now. No. He touched your life so that you will be a witness. To be a witness to the people around you. That is God's plan. The only problem is this. Are you a faithful witness? Are you consistent? Let me explain to you. Everybody, what's the message today? Be a faithful witness in good times, in bad times. The truth is this. To be a witness in good times is one thing, but to be a witness in bad times, when you're having cancer, when your loved ones is dying. Today we have two pastors whose loved ones are struggling. They both have cancer. One is our pastor in Davao City. The son has problem with the brain. It's brain tumor. And many doctors feel it is almost impossible. So we are praying for Pastor Richie. We have another pastor by the name of Pastor Erwin. The wife is diagnosed with cancer. And this stage is not one, two, it's not good. So how will these people become a witness? Friends, it is when you understand the why of life that you can become a faithful witness. For example, years ago, I missed my flight. Now, when you miss an airplane flight, what's your temptation? What's your tendency? Tell me. You like missing your flight? No. So what do? You probably grumble, you probably complain. But I've learned to take every opportunity when it comes to disappointments. You see, circumstances is outside my control. But what's within my control is how I respond. Now, I'm going to give you a secret. In every circumstance or circumstances in your life, you must think, this will be an opportunity to glorify God. That's what I did. I missed my flight. Of course, the other person missed his flight. And I began thinking, why did we miss our flight? There has to be a reason. So I told him, do you know God loves you very much? Why? You and I miss our flight. Because God has a message for you. God loves you, He loves me, and we are together, and God has a special message for you. Is that a good opening? What is that message? Yeah. I remember another time. This was years ago. I was in Hong Kong. I checked in already. My bag was all checked in. I was ready to come home to Manila. Would you believe it? My plane left without me. I missed my flight. How can that be? You see, I thought I was somebody that the plane will never fly without me. They left me. I could be grumbling. I could be complaining. I was thinking, divine appointment. Be a witness. Be a faithful witness. And the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, you go back to Kowloon because you have an auntie, you have a relative that is sick and you have not witnessed to her about Jesus. I went back. They were shocked. What are you doing here? I said, I got a message. So I talked to her about Jesus. You know, a few weeks later, she passed away. Friends, be a faithful witness. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, be a faithful witness. Now, the book of Acts, believe it or not, is about Paul and the others witnessing. So today you will discover, we will cover three chapters. Chapter 24, 25, 26. Okay? Three chapters. But it's so easy to understand. It's about Paul's witness and defense. He was falsely accused. So in chapter 24, you have Paul before Governor Felix and his wife. How did Paul witness? How did he defend? He defended his life. You will learn. Acts 25, 26. You have Governor Festus. Chapter 26, you have Governor Festus, King Agrippa, and Bernice. So, that's the outline. How do you become a faithful witness? It begins with intentionality. You got to know you are to be a witness. May I suggest, number one, be credible. Paul was credible. You will discover chapter 24, 25, 26. What does it mean to be credible? Who you are, what you talk, how you walk must match. Credible. I'm reminded of a family where the husband, where the father told his daughter, will you prepare breakfast? Will you heat up my coffee? Now, the girl apparently was a bit slow. The father got so angry. The father shouted at his daughter. It was a Sunday morning. They all went to church. On Sunday morning, the daughter was seated down. Who was the speaker? The father. The father was the pastor. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that daughter listen very well that Sunday morning? I doubt it. You know why? No credibility. You claim to be a pastor. You claim to be a follower of Jesus. And then you lose your temper at home. You shouted at your children? What kind of testimony is that? To be credible, you got to match your talk with your walk. And most of us are not careful in this area. Are you credible in your house, in your family, in your office? Be credible. You will notice Paul was credible. Next, Paul was courageous. You know, sometimes it's not convenient to talk about Jesus. You're embarrassed. Paul was willing to speak up before kings, before governors. Be courageous. Be honest. Sometimes I get embarrassed. I remember there was a time I was having Bible studies with a group of LBGT. I want to be careful. I want to let them know we love them. So I was ultra careful. However, I've learned to be courageous means what? You have to speak the truth in love. So they all enjoyed the Bible study, but I used the Bible to speak to them. I said, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's supposed to be our memory verses. Have you memorized chapter 6, 9, 10, 11? Let me memorize for you. Do you not know? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. That's what it says. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he talks about neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, revilers, swindlers. Look at the sin in that category. Thieves, covetous, swindlers, homosexuals, etc. will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then the next verse, such were some of you. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. In other words, there is tremendous hope to all kinds of sinners. When our friend read those verses, I remember one of them distinctly. He was very honest. You know the expression, ay naku. Ay naku. Because the word of God impacted his heart. I'm happy to tell you today this person is walking with Jesus. Praise God. People don't realize in CCF we have probably the greatest number of LGBT attending CCF. You know why? Because they know we love them. We welcome them. But they also know we tell the truth. We speak the truth. So my friends, you have to love all kinds of people. Don't judge them. Love them. Let the word of God speak to them. I have lots of testimonies I can give you. Do you believe people can change? Yes. Of course. But if they don't know the truth, they will think all Christians are the same. They will think Christians are just judgmental people. Friends, be careful. Be credible. Say that with me. Credible. What's the next one? Be courageous. And lastly, be Christ-centered. When you witness, don't talk about yourself all the time, but tell them what God did in your life. Are you ready? All right. I'll show you. Super speed. 3 chapters in 5 minutes. No. But you will enjoy this message, okay? Let's begin. Acts 24. 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders, with an attorney named Tertullus. They were fully presented, and they brought charges to the governor against Paul. Being a follower of Jesus does not exempt you from problems. Here they are, charging Paul, accusing him. If you are a Christian and you walk with Jesus, don't be surprised. People will accuse you. We have been accused left and right. But what must you do? Look, they accuse him of three things. Number one, this man is a real pest, a fellow who stirs up dissensions among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarene. Do you know what they accuse Paul of? Three things. Number one, a real pest. What is pest in Tagalog? Peste. Peste talaga ito. Don't say insect, okay? Peste. Ang gulo-gulo mo. That was Paul. Everywhere Paul will go, they are accusing him. Exaggeration. Number two, you are a ringleader of a sect. You are a leader of this crazy religious group. Number three, the most serious charge. Try to desecrate the temple. So we arrested him. So they accused Paul. Now what did Paul do? Credibility. Was Paul guilty? Yes or no? No. Look. When the governor had nodded for him to speak, Paul said, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge to this nation, I cheerfully make my defense." Apologetics. "Since you can take note of the fact, no more than 12 days ago, I went up to Jerusalem to worship." Everybody please read. "Neither in the temple, nor in the synagogue, nor in the city did they find me carrying on a discussion with anyone or causing a riot. Nor can they prove to you the charges of which they now accuse me of." In other words, Paul is saying, "I am not guilty. Credible witness, I am not guilty. But this I admit, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers." You know what Paul is saying? Yes, I admit. Christians were called way. They follow a way. Now let me ask you, do you recall what did Jesus said? Jesus said what? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In the early church, a Christian is noted by a lifestyle, a way. They follow a certain way. What are those ways? They don't steal. They don't rob. They don't commit adultery. They help the poor. The Christians are known for following a way. That's why they are called the way. They're different. They meet together. They have Lord's Supper together. They're always meeting in small groups. The way. And the Bible tells us, "I serve the God of our fathers." You know what Paul is saying? We are the same. "I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob." We are the same. And then Paul is saying, "believing everything in accordance with the law and written in the prophets." Paul is saying, "hey guys, you see, to be credible, Paul was relevant. He knows how to connect with the people. In Tagalog, pare-pareho tayo. You worship God, I worship God. You believe in the Bible, I believe in the Bible. The law, the prophets, I believe." And then, Paul said, "I hope in God, just like you. We all believe in God." Wow, which these men cherish themselves, that there, now notice, he's now beginning to bring in a truth that everybody must encounter. Everybody, please read with me. "That there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." Suicide is not the end of life. There's going to be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. Why is this truth so important? This truth is so crucial because you are now forced to think of eternity. After life on earth, it does not end. And Paul is saying, in view of this, because of this truth, I do my best to always maintain a blameless conscience before God and before men. Friends, if you really believe that one day you and I will stand before God and be judged by Him, you will follow the example of Paul. "I will do my best to live a blameless life. My conscience is going to be clear before God, before men. You know why? Because you know God sees everything. Let me give you an example, the importance of conscience. I can do many things behind your back. You will not know, you will not see. But because I believe God sees everything, I do my best. To this day, I'm not perfect. Credibility does not mean you're perfect, but I do my best to live a life of blameless conscience before God. For example, just this trip alone, just this week alone, my wife left on a Wednesday morning. We came from Singapore attending a seminar. Then she said she had to accompany my daughter. She's attending a seminar. So she seldom does that, but she left this Wednesday. And then she knows I like massage, okay? Because we always have masseur, massage coming to our house, home service. So my wife said, "Honey, will you get a massage?" I said, "Is there a problem?" She said, "I would rather you don't have a massage when I'm not here." Now I was thinking, in Tagalog, labo, labo nito. Because our masseurs are like wrestlers, okay? I mean, they are big, okay? But my wife, since she asked me, I said, "No problem. I won't have a massage." Now, if I have a massage, she won't know. But you know why? I follow this principle. Always a blameless what? Conscience. Why am I doing it? Because I told her, if that bothers you, I will not have a massage. Of course, she does not know. When she comes home today, she will massage me. Payback, okay? My whole point is this. How are you in your conscience? Don't violate your conscience. Because God looks at the heart. I can do many things. My cell phone, my computer, which nobody will know. But by the grace of God, I have a blameless conscience. By the way, my secretary, my staff, my wife have complete access to my cell phone and my computer. What I'm trying to say is this. It is important. Be credible. Tell your neighbor, be a witness, be credible. Have you heard of this expression? "I, Cristiano Bayan." Have you heard of such expression? "I, Cristiano Bayan." Why? No credibility. It makes me sad when I see Christians fighting over email, fighting over the internet, fighting over social media. Why are we fighting each other? Be credible. Tell your neighbor, be credible. Are you credible at home? Are you credible in your office? Are you credible in the eyes of people? Paul was credible. Paul is saying, "I'm not guilty." You know, the Bible tells us, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Everybody please read. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. You must be always prepared to talk about Jesus. Be ready. That's why I ask people to prepare their testimony. What you were like before, how you came to Christ, what happened after. Have you heard of that? You heard the testimony of Daniel Laogan. What he was like before Christ. And then you tell people what Christ did to you. That's your story. And then, what are the changes? That's the Christian life. The only problem is this. Many of us, or not all, but some of you, may have no stories. You don't have a witness. Do you have a story to tell? What you were like before? How you came to Christ? And what happened to you? Be honest with me. Do you have a story? If you don't have a story, I'm concerned. Perhaps you have religion, but not Jesus. You need to be credible. Let people see the changes in your heart. What is the verse after 15? Anybody? What is the next verse? After about being giving a testimony. Anybody? Very good. 16. What is verse 16? Let's read together. Keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. You know, somebody once shared this with me. If people accuse you of something, you don't have to be defensive, you don't have to be angry. You know why? If the accusation is not true, praise God, it's not true. God will vindicate you someday. If the accusation is true, you repent, you change. But the focus is clear conscience. The Apostle Paul was before Felix. So he gave his testimony, right? He gave his story. Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, put them off. You know why? Felix is playing politics. He does not want to release Paul, even though he knew Paul was not guilty. He asked for Lysias, the commander. He knew the story. The commander told him already. Playing politics. So you know what happened? Some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jew, who was Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Can you see the courage of Paul before this governor? He talks about Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present. And when I find time, I will call you." Look at how Paul witnessed with courage. You know why? What did he talk about? Not just faith in Jesus. He talks about, everybody, righteousness. What else? Self-control. What else? Judgment. Paul was courageous in declaring the truth. He does not sugarcoat the gospel. For the Apostle Paul, he is not going to attract people to Jesus by saying, "You come to Jesus and you'll be rich, you'll be happy, and you will have no more problems." Not Paul. Paul does not offer a cheap gospel. He's telling us the truth. When you come to Christ, you need repentance. You have to know why Paul said what he said. Because this guy, Felix and Drusilla, is known in history by Josephus. The guy was immoral. The guy was cruel. The guy somehow seduced his wife, who was married to another man, to become his wife. Paul knew all of these things. So he declared the gospel. There is forgiveness, but there had to be repentance. So he talks about judgment to come. He talks about righteousness. And he talks about what else? Self-control. Friends, do you have the courage to speak the truth in love? The Bible is so clear. Speak the truth in love. Many of us speak the truth without love. You lambast people. For some people, they speak love, blah, 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 blah. But no truth. Friends, balance. Maturity will help you balance truth and love. But don't have one without the other. Amen? So tell your neighbor, be credible, be courageous, be a faithful witness. Together, be a faithful witness. Be courageous. You know, this guy, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. He also used to send for him quite often. this guy really had a problem. Felix. I have discovered four major reasons why people don't come to Christ. Perhaps you're one of them. Four major reasons why people are not really transformed by Jesus. Why they don't really understand the gospel. Would you like to know the four major reasons? Number one, ignorance. Felix did not have this problem. Felix knows the truth. You know, many people are sincere, but nobody ever tells them about Jesus. So some people don't have Jesus. Ignorant. Pride. You know, I know some people. They're so proud. You know what they say? I will remain in this religion. I was born blank, 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 and I will die blank, blank, blank. Pride. I don't want to change. Moral issues. I remember my friend who came to my office. I talked to him about Jesus. He said, Peter, I know what you're talking about. He's very smart. He graduated from a top university. He was a scholar. I said, why can you not come to Jesus? Then he pointed to a woman outside my office. He said, that is not my wife. You see, moral issue will affect your theology because you need to rationalize your behavior. Many people do not come to Jesus because there's a moral issue. You need to find out what is the problem. And idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is not the worship of images, okay? Don't be shallow. Idolatry is anything that you love more than God. Anything that you trust more than God. Let me give you an example. Felix, what was his problem? He loved power. Felix loved the pleasure of life. So why will he give up? You see, idolatry, you examine your heart. What do you love more than you love Jesus? That will stop you from coming to Jesus. Be a faithful witness. After 2 years, Felix was succeeded by Festus. So now we go to the next character, Festus. Wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul. You see Felix's problem? He wants to make everybody happy. He wants to keep his power. So he did not do what is right. You should let Paul go. He is not guilty. But to keep his power, to have peace, play politics. That's a problem. Festus, another guy now, from Felix to Festus, this is now a new governor. He took over. This new governor, again, is playing politics. Wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem? You see the story? The old governor, Felix, left Paul in prison. For how many years? 2 years. After 2 years, a new governor came. What's his name? Festus. Same accusation. So Festus said, would you like to go to Jerusalem to stand before trials? Do you know why he wanted to go to bring Paul to Jerusalem? Because the high priest, the leaders, wanted to assassinate Paul. On the way to Jerusalem, they're going to kill Paul. But Paul was very smart. Paul said, if I'm a wrongdoer and I've committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of these things is true, of which these men accuse me of, no one can hand me to them. I appeal to Caesar. You see, Paul was smart. To be a witness, you have to be smart. Paul knew the court in Jerusalem is going to be a kangaroo court. What is the kangaroo court in the Philippines? A court that is fixed. Lutong Macau. I don't know why they like the food in Macau. Lutong Macau. Lutong Macau means you know the verdict already. It's fixed. Paul is very smart. I'm not going to be tried by these Jewish people. There won't be justice. I appeal to Caesar. And the Bible tells us he appealed to Caesar. Okay? So they could not touch him. Several days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea and paid their respect to Festus. Now you have the third character, King Agrippa and Bernice. While they were spending many days, Festus, the governor, laid Paul's case before the king. There is a man who was left as a prisoner by Felix. You see, Festus had a problem. The problem is this: Paul was a prisoner, yet there are no specific charges filed against him. Secondly, he's a Roman citizen. It's a problem. So he said, what do I do with him? So this is what they did. The people came and accused Paul again. When the accusers stood by, they began bringing charges against Paul. Not of such crimes as I was expecting, but they simply had some points of disagreement with him about their own religion. Everybody read. Look at how courageous and how Christ-centered Paul was. Let's read. About a dead man, Jesus, whom Paul asserted to be alive. You see, Paul was courageous. Paul was Christ-centered. He talked about Jesus. Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, you shall hear him. You know why? Governor Festus and King Agrippa had a private consultation. What was their consultation? I found he had committed nothing worthy of death. This guy is not guilty. And since he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him. But this is the problem. It seems absurd in sending a prisoner not to indicate the charges against him. So, what do I do with this? You see the problem now? Was Paul faithful in witnessing? Some of us will be discouraged. Ayokona. Lord, you are not fair. I've been in jail. Nothing's gonna happen to me, but not Paul. Paul will use every opportunity to witness for Jesus. So Agrippa said to Paul, you are not permitted to speak. Paul stretched out his hand. Paul said, okay, can you tell me what Paul will talk about before I show you the verses? If you were the Apostle Paul, what will you talk about to defend your case? Amazing. Paul talked about what Jesus did in his life. It's called testimony, like Daniel Laugan. Testimony is the most powerful way to witness for Jesus. Number one, nobody can debate with you. It's your life. Number two, it has authority. It's first-hand experience. That's what Paul did. How do you give your testimony? Three outlines. Before Christ, how do you come to Christ? Turning point. And after Christ. Remember, I asked you to write all your testimonies before Christ. Turning point, how did you come to Christ? After Christ. Here's the outline, before Christ. Paul is saying, before Christ, shortcut, let's read together. I live as a Pharisee according to the strictest sect of our religion. You know what Paul is saying? If you read, I am religious. I belong to the most conservative community of our religion. In modern English, Paul will say, I am Opus Dei. I am a Baptist. I am a Pharisee. Wow, that's his testimony. Next, why is it considered incredible among you if God does raise the dead? So, look at his testimony. I thought to myself, I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus. You see, Paul was against Jesus. Next, this is what I did in Jerusalem. I locked up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests. Also, when they were putting to death, I cast my vote against them. You will never want to invite Paul in your Bible study. It's dangerous. You know why? Paul hated Christ, he hated Christians. I locked them up. I sent them to death. Paul said, I punished them in all synagogues. I forced them to blaspheme. I'm furiously enraged. I kept pursuing them. In other words, can you see the life of Paul before Christ? He is not just indifferent. He is ultra against. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know of anybody right now in your life that in your mind, it's almost impossible for this guy to come to Christ? You love the person, but you know with his present mindset, there is no way he will come to Christ. Do you know of such person? Raise your hands. You see, all of us, we have friends that, alam mo, hindi lang matigas. Kasing tigas ng bato. His heart, there's no way. It's like Daniel Laugan. You know, Daniel Laugan was opposed to Christ. He persecuted Christians. Like me. You don't know my life. I hated Christians. I was religious before. I hate these people who are called born against. You know what I call them? Born against. I don't like them. But I discovered something. The gospel of Jesus can touch anybody. Don't give up. If you have family members, you have friends, perhaps you have children who have wandered away from you, or your parents, in your mind it's impossible, may I suggest, keep praying. Be a good example. Be credible. Be courageous. Speak the truth in love. And be Christ-centered. In God's time, your job and my job is not to convert people. Your job is to be a witness. You see the difference? A witness. I tell the truth. What God did in my life. You believe, you don't believe? That's your department. That's God's department. My department? Be credible. I watch my life. Number two, be courageous. Tell the truth in love. And number three, be Christ-centered. Many of you are here today because somebody invited you. Look at your life. Why did you come? Because you saw changes. The problem is if there is no change, changes. If there are no changes in your life, you have to think. So the Bible tells us, testimony. Paul is saying, well, I was engaged as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, notice, midday, when the sun is brightest, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me, and those journeying with me. You see, Paul is now going to give turning point. Christ-centered, what I was like before, how did I come to Christ? Boom, something happened. Paul had witnesses. We had fallen to the ground. I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? If you were Paul, you'd be shocked. I'm persecuting Christians. And then you hear a voice. Why are you persecuting me? What is the theological implication? Theological implication. God, Jesus, so identifies with us. When people attack you, they attack Christ. You are so identified with Christ, Christ is telling you now, when you are hurting, Christ is saying, I know. You see? One with Christ. Theological truth. Paul got the shock of his life. Jesus is telling Paul, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. What does that mean? The goads is a farm implement. It's made of metal. And Jesus is telling Paul, when you fight me, you are hurting yourself. You are not going to win. And the Bible tells us, Paul surrendered. Paul said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Paul will ever lose his faith? Have you heard of people losing their faith? Have you heard? You think it's possible for Paul to lose his faith? Impossible. Let me tell you why. Once you encounter reality, once you encounter truth, the truth is a person about Jesus. There's no way you lose your faith. However, if you encounter religion, yes, you can lose your faith. But if you encounter the truth, you encounter Jesus, how in the world are you going to lose your faith? It's something real. For Paul, for the apostles, all of them, Jesus is real. He died and rose again. If you ask me, Jesus is real. He did something in my life. So why would I lose my faith? Discouraged? Maybe, but not lose your faith. So be careful. Don't be influenced by people saying, you know, it's normal to lose your faith. It is abnormal. Unless you have not met the Lord. And then, this is important experience for Paul. Paul now understands why God saved him. I'm saving you for a purpose, for a purpose. I appeared to you for a purpose, to appoint you a minister and a witness. Paul, you're going to be my witness. And the Bible tells us Paul was faithful. Rescue you from the Jewish people, from the Gentiles, whom I'm sending you. Paul, it's not going to be easy. I will rescue you, but it's not going to be easy. A real encounter with Jesus will transform your heart, transform your life. What is the gospel? Let me share with you. What does it mean, a Christ-centered message? When you come to Christ, your eyes will be open. Open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light. Next, from the release from the dominion of Satan to God. Number three, forgiveness of sins. Number four, inheritance among those who have sanctified by faith. Now, this is so crucial. Just imagine. A gospel that is centered on Jesus offers you the following: to open the eyes of the blind. I look at my life before, I really could not see the truth. Do you have such experience? You ask people, what are you doing in Tagalog? Ano bang ginagawa mo? You know why people do what they are doing? Why? Blind. They don't see. Many people today have physical eyes, but spiritually blind. They really don't see. I've seen people. I look at the decisions they make. I look at the choices they are making. I already predict 100% disaster, but they cannot see. When you live in sin, you are blind. Having immoral relationship, premarital sex, a lot of these things, it's because you're blind. You don't see. Next, you are in bondage, dominion of Satan, from the dominion of Satan to God. Do you know there are many people today, they are enslaved to bitterness, anger, unforgiveness? I'm not just talking about sex. Addiction. You are enslaved. But the gospel of Jesus is going to set you free. But you don't understand. Next, I love this. Forgiveness of sins. Do you need forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen? Today, I'm going to tell you, the gospel of Jesus offers you forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. That is, to me, the good news. Paul, no matter how bad you are, no matter all the foolishness, all the death you have caused, Paul, I want to offer you forgiveness of sin. Paul, that's your message. You tell the whole world there is hope in Christ. And then, inheritance. My goodness, why will you reject the gospel? When God offers you forgiveness plus inheritance, my friend, this is something that money cannot buy. So why will people reject Jesus? I told you four reasons. Ignorance. They are blind. Pride. Don't want to change. Moral life. Refuse to give up. Idolatry. You love something more than you love Jesus. It's crazy. But that's really what's happening. So you know what Paul said? I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. I followed the instructions of the Lord. but kept declaring both to those in Damascus and at Jerusalem, then throughout all the region, and even to the Gentiles. Everybody, what is the gospel? It includes repentance, that they should repent and turn to God. Today, you don't hear many churches preaching repentance and turning to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. Meaning, how do you know you have repented? How do you know you have faith? How do you know you have experienced the grace of God? Deeds appropriate to repentance. You are not saved by deeds. Deeds are evidence of faith. Are we communicating? Claro po ba tayo? Claro? So let me ask you, do you have experience? Have you experienced repentance? Deeds appropriate to tell the whole world, to tell Jesus, Lord, I have changed. Thank you for your grace. I'm willing to change. We want salvation without repentance. It's not going to work. You know, the gospel is Christ-centered. Religion is tradition. The gospel is about the heart. Religion is ritual. You just join. You go through the ritual every Sunday. The gospel, you have a new master, Jesus. Religion is about self. You still are the boss. Gospel talks about repentance. Religion, no repentance. Gospel is about transformation. Religion, no transformation. It's okay. The gospel gives you assurance of salvation, assurance of inheritance. Religion, no assurance. The gospel is about grace. Christ did it all. Religion, you have to earn it. Friends, why would anybody reject the Christ-centered gospel? Blind. You know what Paul said? Paul ended his message about Jesus. Let's read together. That Christ was to suffer, and by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light to the Jews and to the Gentiles. What did Paul talk about? Christ. Suffer for our sins, and he will rise again from the dead. That's the amazing thing about the gospel. It's about Christ, what he did for us. You know, while Paul was speaking, Festus shouted, "Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you crazy." And then Paul replied, "I am not crazy, most excellent Festus. I utter words of sober truth." And then, King Agrippa, "Do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." Agrippa replied to Paul, "In a short time, you will make me a Christian." Paul was very, very emphatic. And then Paul said, "I would wish to God that whether in a short time or a long time, not only you, but everybody here might become such as I am, except for this change." You cannot imagine Paul was witnessing with change in his hand. And Paul said, "I wish all of you will be a Christian, but not with this change." You know what they accused Paul of? "You must be crazy. Look at me, everybody. If Jesus did not die and rise again from the dead, we are all crazy." You know why we're crazy? Just imagine, what do we believe in? We believe that as sinners, we can have forgiveness, we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Isn't that crazy? That's why people think we are crazy. Are we crazy? If Jesus did not die and rise again from the dead, we are all crazy. But if Jesus died and rose again from the dead, we are not crazy. Do you know who is crazy? Agrippa, Felix, Festus. Let me explain to you. They were wearing crowns, they were wearing beautiful clothes, judging Paul. But do you know what happened to them, historically speaking? Felix lost his position. Felix lost his wife. His wife and his child died in Pompeii when Mount Vesuvius erupted. He lost everything. Festus lost his power in 2 years' time. Agrippa and Bernice. Do you know Bernice is the sister of King Agrippa? Incestuous relationship. Sister marrying a brother. Isn't that crazy? Because your moral life will dictate your theology. And look at history. Nobody is called Herod. But you have many cities named after Paul. Hospitals, school, you have St. Paul, San Paulo. You have children named Paul. You don't have people called Herod or Agrippa. Why? I love this statement as we close. Who is crazy, who is not crazy? The Bible tells us, everybody read this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Sooner or later, all of us, you are going to leave this world. I guarantee you. 100 years from now, none of you will be here. And you cannot bring anything with you. Your money, your bank account, your real estate properties, your jewelry. You cannot bring anything with you. You are going to lose everything. He is no fool who gives up, who surrender to God whatever he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. Paul was not stupid. Paul was not crazy. I am not crazy. I believe with all my heart Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and he is coming again. And my hope is completely set on the reality of who Jesus is. What about you? I hope that God has spoken to you. Some of you are still toying. You have not surrendered everything. You are like Festus. You are like Agrippa. You are holding on to something. But you know, when it comes to Jesus, it's all or nothing. Either he is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. You have to make the choice. Let's bow our heads. If God has spoken to you, and you want to be serious with your faith, and you want Jesus to be Lord of all today, I want to pray for you. Will you surrender your life? Raise your hands. Praise God. Anybody else? Keep those hands up, because I'm going to let you pray with me in a short prayer. In fact, just stand up. Just stand up now. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. You don't want to play games with him. Second challenge. If you know Jesus, I'm going to challenge you right now to witness to somebody this week. I want you to pray to Jesus, Lord, help me be a witness to somebody about you. One or two, but ask Jesus to help you. And you're willing to accept that challenge, to be a faithful witness, to be credible, to be courageous, to be Christ-centered. Stand up. Praise God. Stand up. You say, Lord, help me to be a witness. I want you to be a witness this week. And my challenge to you is ask Jesus to lead you to somebody this week and talk about Jesus to that person this week. Anybody else? You stand up and you ask Jesus to guide you so that he will bring you to somebody and you can talk about Jesus. Listen to me. Your job is not to force people to believe in Jesus. Your job is to be a witness. And I'm asking you today to be a witness. But you need the help of Jesus to open doors. And you want me to pray for you? Stand up. Anybody else? You say, Lord Jesus, I'm scared to be a witness, but you help me. I need courage. Anybody else? I'm asking you today to be a witness for Jesus. You cannot be a witness for Jesus if you have not encountered Jesus. Perhaps that is why some of you are still sitting down. Because you have no testimony, you have no witness. Perhaps you need to stand up today and say, I better surrender my life to Jesus first. So stand up. Why will you take a chance? By playing games with your eternal soul. Be honest. If you don't want to witness, it's simply because you have not experienced the grace of God. You have not experienced forgiveness. You have not experienced the joy of salvation. It's okay. We are here to help you. Anybody else? Friends, the danger of not responding to the gospel is to develop a hardened heart. And that's my concern. You keep coming here, and if you don't obey Jesus, your heart will become harder and harder. My advice is you are deceiving yourself. May I suggest then, you stand up and surrender. Perhaps you're living in sin. Perhaps you are doing something that God is not happy. Well, that's why Jesus came. He loves you. He's not your enemy. He's your friend. He said, I come here to help you. But you need to surrender. You need to humble yourself. Anybody else, stand up. Because you know why? I do not know what will happen to you today. Anything can happen to you tonight, tomorrow. What makes you think you have next week? Today is what is important. Today, be honest with God. Say, Lord, here I am. Anybody else? Praise God. I know sometimes it's a struggle. I love you guys. I'm giving you a chance to respond. Let's bow our heads. Pray this prayer with me. If you don't have a real relationship with Jesus, you pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, here I am. I admit I'm a sinner. I think I have religion, but I don't have a relationship with you. So Lord Jesus, I come to you. Change my heart. Change my life. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who are committing to try to witness to somebody this week. Lord, I'm included in that group of people. I pray that this week you will allow me to be a witness. You will allow me to meet somebody who is hungry, who wants to know you. Lord, guide me to these people. Guide your people here today. Lord, they stood up. Give them the courage, the opportunities to witness to somebody. Lord, that is your mission for us, to be a witness. And we want to obey you. But we want to obey you because we love you. Because you have done so much for us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.